afternoon. Is it well with you all? Is it? We give God the glory. Amen. Yeah, we can give him a hand clap. He's worthy. Sitting before you now is Mr. Paul Masembe.
And Maggie Masembe.
Yeah. God has kept us happily married for the last over 17 and a half years. And she's a nice cook, as you will testify. Well, some days, eh? But she never gives burnt offerings. Eh? Glory be to God.
Amen.
Well, we are presenting to you what to expect in marriage. And I was thinking, the real aim for our meeting today is that because it truly is the practicality of success, it is what works that works out in life. Not so? It is what works that works out in life. Amen?
Amen.
So, with boy meets girl, with our talk with dating and courtship, it's not that we are the geniuses in those fields and subjects, but perhaps while we talk about them, issues come to mind that we can ponder. The Holy Spirit gives revelation. More is probed into someone to soul search. You get it? To have insight, to have better knowledge, to have better understanding, so that for you, what works is what will work out. Amen?
Amen.
So, even as we have 17 and so years, for us we dated for about a year?
A year and a half.
A year and a half, yeah.
Yeah.
We dated for a year and a half, but we married very young, as you can see, we are still young. But but we have two children, Shalom is 17, and Esther is
15.
Yeah, 15. Shalom is in S5, Esther is in S3. And I believe our quiver is full, eh? Yeah, but children are a blessing of the Lord, amen? Amen. A great reward of His, and we thank God so much for Shalom and for Esther. As we present to you what to expect in marriage, we probably will ask about a couple of suggestions. What do you expect in marriage? Catherine, are you married? Are you Catherine?
She's Goretti.
Goretti. Sorry, Goretti. Are you married? What do you expect? Are you looking forward to getting married? Yeah. What do you expect in marriage? Mind sharing with us? Just one of the expectations. Because that's what builds what you're going to or looking forward to. Having? Happiness. Yeah. She expects having happiness. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good expectation. Not so? It's realistic. Not so? I'm looking for a guy. Yeah. You. Job. What do you expect in marriage? Just one or two if you don't have a list already. What do you expect in marriage? Companionship. Amen. So, principally, Job is looking for companionship and friendship out of marriage. And the way we are going to handle what to expect in marriage is we are going to present some myths and some realities, yeah? And build upon that, you see? You have heard it is said marriage is not a bed of roses. But it is. The truth is, it is. Marriage is a bed of roses. I assure you it is.
Roses have thorns also.
Roses have thorns. No, but you can't have the rose without them. You can't. That thorn's pricking you. Yeah, that is. No.
So you have to first hold the marriage,
yeah.
Then the pricks will come. But you're enjoying the beauty and the pricks at the same time.
Yeah. So you get that, eh? That's one of the myths and realities we are handling, that you would have last contribution. Yeah. All these guys. Rachel, lastly, you're not expecting anything in marriage. You're not expecting anything in marriage. Wow. Okay, I'm looking for someone. This end. Yes, my sister. Anything you expect? Yes, please. I don't see the name so clearly. Foster. All right, Foster. Hope you've had a good day. What do you expect in marriage? In a godly way. Yeah, thank God. Praise God. Amen. Well, I thank God so much that all of you that have been sampled have more realistic expectations than I had. For me, I expected sex in the morning, sex at lunchtime, sex in the afternoon, sex in... That's what I'm just kidding.
I'm going to run out of this.
I'm just kidding. But but anyway... What?
I have one question.
Yeah, Maggie has one question.
Okay, I have one question. What are the expectations one should have? What do you expect a guy to have, ladies, when you're talking about marriage, you're about to get there? Chicho subira, brother no kola. Okola wo. As in, he's proposed, you're getting married, or you're even going to church the next week. What do you expect to find maybe at his house? So I want like two ladies.
You have to call them, I think, by name. Some.
Yeah, I grab you by the what?
By the
Joy. What are your expectations as a woman of this guy? Okay.
Yep.
Then the guys, what do you expect? You bring this lady home. What do you want to see? The lady has said they don't want you to be disorganized. Baga kusanga nga maluwe chiriwo.
Ngo mufariso we guri
vanangei.
Guys.
Someone told us, where is the mattress?
While we are researching, someone said that they got someone married and there was no mattress at home. Can you imagine?
The guys.
Guys,
where is the mufariso?
Yeah, so you also believe in God for the mattress, eh? No.
Okay, I want the guys. Now, do it. Come on.
Paul doesn't want to say anything.
What do you expect?
From
the lady. You've married her, she's in the house. Okay. So, for Paul, she is looking for an intercessor.
Yeah, he would support the family.
Someone he will intercede with. I'm joking. I've just added salt and pepper.
In the same mix. Eh?
Okay. But what do you expect when she comes in the house? That's what I wanted. The reality, as in, you have this woman in the house. What is your vision? She said she wants to find someone who's organized, not disorganized. You don't have to have everything, but at least you should have something. At least the mattress should be there. Now, what for you? What is your vision? She has given us a glimpse of what she expects when she comes in the house. What is your vision?
Anyway, you're right.
Sometimes opposites attract. That's the problem.
Interestingly. Solomon, you had something to say?
Okay. Hey.
Yeah, that's what Goretti said. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's only me who expected great things.
in socks.
He has something to share, briefly. Speak up. Just speak up.
Bathing, combing hair, but sister,
wow. All right, that he wants that woman who will take care of him and transform him. Amen. Yes.
Brother, there.
Okay, Godfrey, you're the last one, the very last one. No, I just want what you expect. Oh, okay. He's expecting a woman who is submissive. You get that? All right. Well, there are all those that are myths and some are realities. Some, like you may quite understand, are practical and others are impractical. But that just goes to know to show that. Are you commenting or expecting?
Expectation.
All right. Care. Yeah. They must handle you with care, love, and prayer.
Open up.
Amen. Yes, please. Yes, Samuel.
Samuel.
It's companionship, yeah? Yes, she's giving her a high five.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. That's all cool.
Hallelujah. All. People have started opening up. This section here, we won't leave all of you. One, if you feel you have that one burning expectation, you want people to hear. Yay.
Cook nice food.
Cook food. Okay.
Yes, I buy that. All right.
By the way, what were you expecting when you were marrying me?
Me? Ha, they have got me. Bamfunye. Me, I was expecting to get a very beautiful woman who can sing.
It's true.
Who? Yeah, for marriage. That's yes. You know what music does to life? You don't know what music does to life. Anyway, I also expected to have 4 children. I didn't have the 4. I expected to have a nice bungalow. Expected to be happy in marriage. Now, I can't express myself in simple words.
Well, my expectations were this Prince Charming. I got married when I was 21. So my thoughts were this Prince Charming comes with a
A
thing? Carriage. Yeah. And horses, and then they carry me to a castle. And then I'll live happily ever after.
I think she had just watched Princess Diana and just in their carriage. Anyway,
I tell you that those were my expectations. I believed I'll live happily ever after, and my car balloon got torn somewhere.
Yeah, reality dawned in mnange.
Yeah.
But anyway, there are some myths that we have to consider that will broaden our picture and keep us in check about our expectations. Kind of make them more realistic and see that what works out in life is what works out in our lives. There is a myth.
The best way to prepare for marriage and to thrive in it is to learn the differences between men and women so you will know what men and women want.
Actually, the best way to prepare for marriage and to thrive in it is not to just learn the differences between men and women so that you'll know what men and women want, but it is to learn about your partner so that you know what your partner wants and needs. Because you don't marry a gender.
You marry a person.
And yet the majority of Christian marriage books just keep on giving us advice on gender stereotypes as their best, like men need adventure.
Women need security.
Men like quiet time and are quiet.
Women process verbally.
That men crave respect and control.
Women crave love and emotional. intimacy.
That men are like microwaves.
Women are like ovens.
Yeah, which isn't always the case, the truth is. So, for all of this talk about men being wired one way and women being wired another way, we have found out, as Micah Murray says, that
wires are for robots
and not for people. Check. Amen? So you don't have to stereotype your expectations.
Check.
Because we are human beings. And we relate to one another better when we stop expecting the other person to behave in a prescribed way that is programmed. But instead, when we talk openly with one another about our actual desires, preferences, hopes, and expectations.
This is why I would sooner recommend the 5 love languages of prospective couples than one of a myriad of Christian books that attempt to prepare people for marriage by basing their advice on gender stereotypes. Best of all, simply pay attention to one another. Observe what makes the other person laugh, rest, rejuvenate, connect, grow, thrive, and try to communicate with one another. You don't marry a gender or you marry a person and you get to spend the rest of your marriage figuring out what makes your partner tick.
Amen?
Yeah.
Is that good about expectations? You're not going to marry a man and say, abasajja webatyo, oba abakazi webatyo. No, you're getting to marry a particular person that is meant for you. And you're going to get married to a particular person whom you are meant for. You get it? So you get to know and learn each other and appreciate each other for you to have your expectations in Christ met. Amen? The other myth we have is,
you're supposed to have a conflict-free marriage for it to be successful.
And the reality check is that conflicts, arguments, disagreements must happen unless either or one of you or both of you are not using your heads. Because
what is so important in that is that these never are abusive. You don't have to be abusive. And you're never physical, like fight physically, but you can have a misunderstanding. So, but you rather come quick to terms with a cause and the issue at hand and work about to make both you and your partner better, not bitter. And cause, after the disagreement, it should cause you to bond more after you've had a disagreement.
After you've had the so-called fight that is not physical or abusive. You get that? We also have a myth that women must learn to be indirect about their opinions and desires so as not to upset a man's sense of leadership in the home. And the reality check
the reality
is that
check, it is healthier to communicate honestly, openly with one another to avoid manipulation and repression.
Check.
I can't tell you how many wedding showers I've attended, and women joke to the bride about how to get her way by making her husband think it was her idea when it was really hers. Ironically, I hear this most often from folks who promote hierarchy gender roles in the home. Since women are seen as their husband's subordinates, they think they have to think of creative ways to share their ideas and desires rather than just stating them directly for the fear of taking too much initiative in the relationship. As it were, it all goes back to the use of the master key for healthy relationships, which is communication. Communicate with one another. Yeah, as friends.
Yeah, we also have a myth that all you need are shared values, shared faith to get along. And the reality check is that this may be true, but I'm also pretty convinced that a shared sense of humor is just as important as all the others, because life lived out in reality is not a life lived out uptight. You don't have to be boring, or you don't have to be so spiritual, or you just really have to be down to earth to enjoy life in its true sense. You get that? You get that? All right.
Like, you don't have to be like a judge. When you enter the house, the cockroaches hide, the rats go in the cupboards, the children want to go under their beds, you know, because omami akomeo. You get. They hear the hoot at the gate and they're like, hey, daddy akomeo, everybody vanishes in their bedrooms. No.
Yeah.
You must be a bit down to earth. Yeah.
And there's also a myth that women need men to be their spiritual leaders.
Reality check is that you're going to need one another on the journey of faith. The teaching that men are the spiritual leaders of their homes is found nowhere in the Bible. And yet, along the way, too many of us young women spend hours fretting over this, worrying whether we'd find a guy who is more knowledgeable about the Bible than we are. We are always emotionally connected to God than we are. Who is a better leader in church, like my husband, and who is consistently exhibiting more faithfulness and wisdom than we are. In fact, under this
paradigm,
I came to see many of my gifts as a liability, impediments to settling down with a good spiritual leader. Well, guess what? I never found such a person. I've never found a spiritual leader. Instead, I found a spiritual companion to travel with on the journey of faith, for better or worse, in good times and bad times, in times of spiritual wealth and in times of spiritual poverty, when things are just going bad and we can't pray. My husband isn't expected to always be strong, the strong one, while I am always the weak one. Instead, we cheer each other on, help each other up, challenge each other to do better. Sometimes we walk side by side, moving along at a quick pace. Sometimes we help each other over boulders and fallen trees. Sometimes I'm leading the way, and I'm a very strong-willed woman, so sometimes I lead the way. And sometimes he's leading the way. Paul is leading the way. Sometimes I carry him, and sometimes he carries me. The journey of faith is too far, treacherous, and exciting and beautiful to spend it looking at the back of another person's head. Jesus leads us down the path, and we tackle it together one step at a time. Yeah.
The truth is, the Bible never teaches that one partner must be more spiritually mature than the other. Not so?
Yeah.
Because you're brought together to be one, not one to follow the other always. Not so? So, that's why it teaches that two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. Mm. If either of them falls, the other will help the other up. That's what Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 to 10 teaches. So, when someone doesn't feel the pressure of always having to follow, when they get inspiration, or when they are gifted in a special way for the marriage to work out better and build God's kingdom, they don't have to pull back and say, I'll wait for God to first talk to my husband himself. I won't talk to my husband because he's supposed to be lead. You get that, eh?
Mm.
Yeah. The other myth we consider is that we don't need a marriage counselor or financial planner or psychological evaluation or a sex therapist or a recovery group or doctor if we have a pastor. And the reality check is,
you may very well need a marriage counselor, a financial planner, a psychological evaluation. You will need a sex therapist, maybe, a recovery group, or a doctor. Unfortunately, too many churches these days think that the pastor is their guru or demigod. And some even discourage church members from seeking guidance or help for their marriage outside the church.
Interesting, yeah? And this is profoundly unhealthy because not every pastor is that qualified to be a financial planner, and yet you may have financial problems or to diagnose mental illnesses or to counsel couples through their conflicts in an unbiased way or in a very educated way. And furthermore, if you have such models that you're setting, you may put too much pressure on the pastors and create unrealistic expectations around them. You get that? So a good pastor who, like we have been studying, is a good shepherd, they will be eager to recommend you to an expert. You'll pray about it, you'll get God's word about it, but in case it needs specialized attention, you know, don't say that, "Pastor, I am vudem." The pastor can still recommend you to someone who will help you, say, learn how to budget or, you know, so that you get out of the financial mess you probably, the both of you are so well down sunk in that your marriage could be destroyed if you continue in it. You get that? Yeah. We also have a myth that
one spouse is called to make the money, the other one is called to make the dinner and spend the money. Then one spouse is called to make the decisions, and the other spouse is called to make the home.
And the reality check is that we are all called to make a life together. You get that?
Yeah.
We are all called to make a life together. You can help me out.
Okay. I can see where sticking to agreed upon roles can be helpful in some cases, but I think it is unwise to base these roles on gender or ideology as opposed to practicality. And I think it is destructive to impose them legalistically without regard to changing life circumstances. One of the first lessons you learn in a marriage is that you can plan and dream all you want, but you have to live in reality. So if your notion of roles can survive a layoff, if maybe your husband loses his job, a pregnancy,
if your wife can't cook or wash for you,
illness or illness of one partner's success or another partner's disappointment, you are asking for trouble. The point is to make a life together based on your unique circumstances and gifts, not to force yourselves in prescribed roles regardless of how they fit. Our life isn't divided into spheres. Our goals are our goals. Our joys are our joys. Our disappointments, successes, failures, financial earnings, investments, some guys invest on their own. Ideas, dreams, and plans must be shared always. We share them. Share our disappointments, we share our failures.
Yeah,
I don't make myself look good. You know, he's the loser, this guy here. No, if we are losing, we are losing out together.
Yeah, like some of you may not know that I'm a perfectionist, yeah? I'm an imperfect perfectionist, by the way. But I've really failed to have my wife make the bed so that when I throw that pebble on it, it bounces. Ding, ding, ding. So I make the bed. And she has realized that I'm not so good at managing the finances, so I've left that to her. Because she's very good at that. You get that? We also have a myth that marriage is a Calvary rescue for sexual temptation and for sexual sins.
The reality check is sexual sins are the termites in the walls and foundations of today's marriages.
Because all sexual impurity or perversions, if they are not sternly dealt with personally, before you are married, they will become a foothold given to the thief, the devil, to steal, to kill, and to destroy your person, your personality, and all that you would hold dear, including your spouse, your children, your ministry, your business. So you have to seriously work at getting healed if need be, so rather than compounding your problem and thinking that I'm watching porn until I get married. When I get married, I won't watch porn. Or I'm masturbating until I get married. When I get married, I won't masturbate. You are already in hell, and you don't want the rest of your dear ones to follow you. You get that? Whether you're a woman or whether you're a man. You have that? Mm-hmm. Marriage is not going to be your cover rescue, because those are what they call strongholds. You hear me? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have to be very careful about sexual temptations and sexual impurities or sins. Handle them what the Bible says, how you should handle them, even before you get married. You won't have better help unless you're handling them personally. You get that?
Yeah.
Yeah. We have another myth.
A Christian home should be centered around a certain household model.
Yeah. Christian home should be centered around a certain household model, like what we have read in a Christian book by a pastor so-and-so in America. The reality check is that a Christian home should be centered about the person of Jesus Christ. Because
growing up in church, I always heard that a Christian home should only flourish if there is a clear patriarchal pecking order in which the husband leads the wife submits to her husband.
Mm.
This was supposedly based on the teachings of the scripture.
Yes.
And yet, I saw plenty of marriages based on that model fall apart.
Mm.
Obviously, I am a big advocate of mutual submission in marriage, as that is what I believe those biblical passages ultimately teach, and this is what works best in our marriage. But more important than adopting a single household model is adopting the posture of Jesus Christ, who emptied himself of power and took the role of a servant. So I don't think it is as much about finding a perfect model in terms of a structure as it is about finding the perfect model in terms of the person of Jesus.
Yeah.
I've learned anything in the past 17 years of marriage. If I've learned anything in the past 17 years of marriage, it is that I can't go wrong imitating Jesus. Humility, forgiveness, patience, compassion, and love is what is in the person of Jesus. And capitalizing on the most important relationship in our relationship, being that with the Lord Jesus Christ.
So if you capitalize that when you are into marriage, the most important relationship in your relationship is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and that you're imitating him, you are seeking his ideals for your life as a person, you'll find that that's the right model you will have to express yourself about, or you will have your mate. It's what you look out for from your mate, other than going back where we started, gender stereotypes, heaven on earth, and all these other figments of our castles and bouncing princesses and meadows and all those dreams that we have, that actually when you are sticking to them, you get so disappointed. You start thinking that you made the wrong choice, which is not true.
Mm.
You get that? It is not true. You didn't make the wrong choice if things are not working out. And she or he did not make the wrong choice being with you. But how are you working it out for it to work out for you? Amen? That's what we will share with you about what to expect. Any questions now? You want something to say?
Check.
Yeah.
Pastor.
Yes.
Someone asked a question and said, you know, in some cultures, when you kwanjula, they tell you that it's okay for you to what?
To take sex. Your wife.
Mm. Yeah, to take your wife and actually sleep in the same room and whatever happens, happens.
Okay.
What is your view on this?
All right. When you have the cultural introduction ceremony, that's the Kwanjula. And for those in the west of this country, it's the Kuhinjula, not so?
It's both.
So, yeah?
It's both the Kwanjula and the Kuhinjula.
Okay, in one, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one. What they call being betrothed to someone. So they are more or less your wife or your husband. Yeah? In the eyes of the relatives and everyone else that you showed, you put the flower or the bouquet upon, yeah? Not so?
Yeah.
But you know why you are becoming one with that person? Yeah? You know why you're becoming one with that person in the presence of God and the many witnesses? Not so? And that's the godly principle we are upholding. Because the reason why you are seeking for that, that is what we call holy matrimony, is that God will sanction and bless your marriage. Not so? So, why then would you seek for the blessing of men, which is actually not true, because it is the blessings of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. Not so? And it is God who is going to, you know, is going to sustain you through a marriage. Why would you seek then the blessing of men or the advice of men rather than the blessing of God and the sanctioning of God when you get before the priest or the altar and you sanctify your union before you consummate it, that is, before you have sex? Because the marriage, I always take it when I'm doing counseling, is that you're preparing for marriage, yeah? But you're just not preparing for a wedding. You're not just preparing for an introduction ceremony. Not so? So concentrate on preparing for the marriage. Real thing and not what gets you into the real thing.
Mm.
You get it? Because when it dawns on you that she's mine, I'm hers, by God's grace or by God's power, not by what man has said or man has done. Not so? And then you know that you'll always have God to back you up throughout your relationship. So the truth is, when God says adulterers and fornicators, they will be judged. Hebrews 13:4. Because marriage should be honorable in all and the marriage bed undefiled. I would rather take God's word more serious than take the word of men.
Even in the Bible, if you look at an example of Mary and Joseph.
And Joseph, yeah.
They had a period where you, like what we're talking about, go a boy meets girl,
yeah.
Then you court, then you go to your parents.
Yeah.
Then the parents would give they would give you time, because for them, they wanted the man to first organize a place for you, and then they come and pick you at a certain time, B, T, and take you as their wife. But before they took you in, there was a ceremony prepared, and the priest would join you, and the two families would be joined, and then everybody would be making merry while you guys are in your tent consummating the marriage. So there is, even Jesus, when he said he'll come back and pick us, you see, so there's always a time after you have done what your part, and then the parents also do their, you've taken your marriage before the parents. There's also, you have to wait for that time when you take your marriage, I think, before God. Yeah, and you honor God. You say, God, we have come. Our parents have said yes. We agreed. We are going to live together. Our parents have agreed that we can do this. Now, we want you to bless us before we continue. So, it's very, very important, because some relationships are breaking up because the guy says, you are already mine. I paid dowry 10 cows. We can sleep. And then you sleep, your wedding is in December, and you're breaking up in August. What is that? Yeah.
There was no grounds for a relationship divinely. Gerald has a question.
I'm still talking.
Suppose someone says, okay, what if I bring the priest on the day of Kwanjula?
What if you do what?
Bring the priest on the day of Kwanjula.
And you wed?
Yes.
Then you are as good as wedded. then you're as good as wedded. I think that's what the Muslims do. But when you bring the priest to bless your union, you're as good as wedded. Not so? Yeah. Because he's doing it in the name of the Lord.
Yeah, thank you, 17-year-old Masembes. We're only three, but yeah, there's a lot to learn. I've liked the myths and reality checks. Mm. Quite inspirational, rather insightful. There's something that has always been on my mind, just probably confirming. We are married, but then I come from a family. Yeah, in marriages, who comes first? Your wife or your parents? Okay. Who takes priority? Okay. This has been some kind of contention that different people have talked to.
Mm.
Different people say you have to get back to your parents. When your parents want something, you have to attend to them first.
Mm.
Yeah. Then others, you know, your wife is more important.
Okay.
So just to get your view on that.
Okay, thank you. I think my wife will go first.
Well, when you get married, all the other relationships, apart from your relationship with God, revolve around your marriage.
When you get married, all the other relationships, apart from your relationships with God, revolve around your marriage.
Yeah. So it has to be your family first.
No, I was emphasizing. I wasn't asking.
It has to be your family first.
I was emphasizing.
You come to your wife and agree, and then you take action, whatever action.
That's why.
Like, if an but in case of emergencies, you can call your wife and say, you know what, I am doing this, so that she's aware. Because you might have put maybe money aside for something, and then maybe something happens, an accident happens to your dad. Yeah, and he has to go maybe in an emergency, surgery or something.
Mm.
You just inform her and you say, my daddy, you know, and then you carry on.
Mm.
But other than that, sit down or call your wife, tell her. Let her call you also, yeah, and tell you this is happening. And then agree, because God will bless whatever you do.
Mm.
As an agreed couple.
Yeah. That's why even Jesus himself mentioned it, that for this reason a man shall leave and cleave. You see? That's where the big hurdle is with some of us men. The leaving and the cleaving. And yet the truth is that unless you take it to heart that I left, I have to cleave. So the honor that I'm giving her must be more than I would give anyone else, even if it was my dad or my mom. I'm not saying that you should dishonor your parents.
No.
You get that?
Mm.
But you have to prioritize honor where it is due now with your spouse, either it's your wife or your husband, with regard to this. Also, you have to apply wisdom like she has shared. Yeah.
Because like he has just said, when you finish that scripture, it says, the man shall leave his father and mother and cleave, and then the two become one. If you're still apart in that regard, you are not one. That's what the Bible means. The two become one only when you decide. Even some girls keep running home. Mami chino, mami chiri, you know? It's not right. Don't run away from home. Ngamwami wotamanyi. Don't sense, you know, genokula abazadde bange. Chagama nze sirira abazadde. You know those things, eh? Kati ono mwami abera your authority. You have to first report to him and say, you know what? I need to go home to see my mom. Or I have to go and take care of this. And then leave. Yeah? That's the only way you become one flesh. He actually said one flesh. He doesn't say one. He says the two become one flesh.
Yeah. My name's once again. I'm Nanangwe Kulusumu.
Put the microphone in your mouth.
I think I'm like three Sundays old here. Now,
what you said?
Sorry, I was talking to my daughter. Sorry.
stand is here.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Now, like, I have a problem. Like, anyway, it's a question coming within my head. For, like, for us in the family, we are Muslims. Yeah. That's why I'm Kulusum.
Yeah.
Now, like when I'm going for my wedding, like, people, they always tell me, in church is your father to take you.
Mm.
But as far as I know, my father is totally out. My father can't take me into the church because he's a very, very good Muslim.
Mm.
So what should I do?
It's important that when you have your fiancé, are you in a relationship?
Sorry?
Are you in a relationship now?
Not yet.
All right. It's important that when you have your fiancé and they know you're Muslim or they know your Catholic or your Protestant background and for perhaps you're now born again, yeah? You tell them, well, my parents are so and so. So they will not step in such a what? And a function for our marriage to happen, you see? But where you start from, as a girl especially, is when you get a guy, you have to take them to your parents. That's where you start from, especially as a girl. You can't have a wedding anywhere unless your parents have consented, you see?
And she likes it.
Yeah.
Even my dad can allow me to bring him.
Mm.
But inside him,
he can't go to the...
He will feel not happy.
Yeah.
But of course, he can allow me. But for a wedding, he can allow me to go, but he can't escort me.
Yeah. It would still work out if he cannot escort you, but your brother, Muko, your Muko can escort you. The principal thing is that they have allowed the marriage. Yeah.
If they allow
the rest
marriage.
Of the things will not be so quintessential because what was required of them is to consent to have their patriarchal blessing upon your reunion. But if the Bako can allow, and if the Bako cannot also step in the church, you get a cousin or you get someone, blood, an uncle, a relative. Even a spiritual father.
Even a pastor can walk you down
actually,
the aisle.
A spiritual father can also escort you down the aisle.
Pastor, I'm adding on. My name is Abe.
Yes, Abe.
And like Kurusum, I'm from a Muslim background.
Thank you.
Okay? We are from Butambala, let me tell you. There are some parents who will say, I have a list of hajis and hajatis in my family up to now who are... almost threatening, you know, yet I'm an adult. You understand? I took a decision and I follow Jesus.
Mm.
But there are people who will never, who will never accept their child to get married to a Christian. I'm telling you. And I am telling you from experience.
Mm.
Does it mean that this girl, because the father has said no to Kenny, that she should not go ahead and marry Kenny? Because by the end of the day, are we here to satisfy man or to please God? You know? So this is what because I can see, and I'm talking from really deep, and she knows also, and you haven't talked before, they will say no. I mean, when you're in Somalia, they cut off your head. What do you do? In Egypt recently, you had someone, in fact, a girl was going to be stoned. I don't know where it ended. So we are talking about these are strongholds. Huh? Islam is a stronghold.
I know.
And this is serious stuff. If they say no, does it mean that I don't go ahead and marry the person I am supposed to marry?
You want an answer from me now?
Yes.
If they say no, you come to for counseling.
If they say no,
you come to me for counseling. That's the best. I can't clear it now because it's based on peculiar instances on how to handle each instance.
Okay.
That's why I'm saying you come for counseling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is something that you needs yeah. requires a lot of research.
Yeah.
Not
research. The reason why, by the way, the very reason why people should go for counseling is to have God's counsel and expression of power in a situation. You get it? It's not that I'm so wise or so powerful or I will override anything, you see? But with God, all things are possible. That's what I believe. And that's what I've seen. You get it? That's why I don't want to say, do this or don't do this. Because I may mislead you and you blame me because I gave a general answer on such a gathering like this. You get it?
Mm.
Yeah.
But there are many ways. Both of you who are going to get married are adults. Just you can walk in mom's house. There's a registrar's of whatever. What do they call it?
The registrar's office.
Of marriage.
Civil marriage. Yeah.
Yes. You go in there. You go with your witnesses. Yeah. And there are also magistrates that are Christian. Abalokole. Explain to them your situation. Because you're adults, they'll ask you for your portraits and hang them in the court for 21 days. And they ask you these days to pay a fee. Those days it used to be free.
Yeah, but
they ask you for a fee. And then you slate a date and you get married. You see? Because it's not the parents that are getting married, it's the two of you. Mm. And in Uganda you can do it. But he said, you come to the church and let them sit down with you and go through your situation, because the situations are always vary. Sometimes it's the parents of the guy who don't want the woman, and they are not going to come for the wedding, and it has become an issue because they are saying there is no kwanjuda in our what? In our compound. We have worked with people like that, where the lady is like, take your kwanjuda. They tell the lady, take the kwanjuda to your church. We are not going to have it here. And with God's help, they have ended up getting married. So, I'm just giving you one example, but I'm not saying you should do that. You should not override your parents. You can have other people intervene. Like, other people go in for you to your parents. You go with them to your parents and they talk to them. If it becomes very, very complicated, then we ask God for his counsel, and God will always give us, will always give you counsel and lead you. Yeah. Is that okay?
For now. Let us now answer some of these questions, because it's now getting late that you have written down. We're first going to answer ours, then invite all the other couples that
have questions,
the questions to help us answering them, and then we'll close up, I think. There's a question here, or a comment, I don't know how to put it. Talk about sexual satisfaction. If I'm to talk about sexual satisfaction briefly,
it has to be in marriage.
Yeah, you can only achieve sexual satisfaction in marriage, because actually then the bed is holy ground. Yeah.
Yeah.
And God will cause sparks to fly.
And the angels will be around you.
Yes. So about.
Yes.
So that's the most I can actually talk about sexual satisfaction, but it is so required in marriage. It is so required in marriage that there is sexual satisfaction. And should a woman always have a problem with his mother-in-law? I don't think it is right. Mothers-in-law should not always be human devils in a marriage, not so. That's like stereotyping people, because they've had lots of mothers-in-law. Even when they allow them to go, they want their husband to be cooked for in a certain way, so they keep on making problems in the marriage. That's not what should happen, not so. So when you are advised, like when we are doing our counseling, preparing for marriage God's way, we counsel you on how you handle in-law relations the way God wants you to handle it. That's why we do a counseling preparing for marriage God's way.
Can actually, you should yes. never go into a marriage ngati mufunye counseling. Try, and at this church we have very good counseling. We have a counseling curriculum that is very, like, covers all aspects: finances, sex, in-laws,
communication,
getting to know yourselves. You know, sometimes you think you know yourself, but you get to discover certain things, and it's very helpful for you to know yourself and for you to know your partner. Then bring the two of you together. But for mother-in-law things, is that it's two girls fighting for one boy. One of them is the mother, and the other one is the lover. So what you do, when the mother shows up, the lover, you step over kokatonotono, but you don't like leave him, yeah. And let them have their time, and then your time will also come. I have most of the time with my husband now than his mother. Yeah.
Can you want to say something?
Yeah, I wanted to say that many times when a mother-in-law has a problem with the wife of the man, it is the man's fault, because the man,
they didn't set the right boundaries.
Yes, and another thing is that he seems to side more with his mom's advice than with his wife's advice. Okay. Whatever the mom says, he says, but my mother said this. Mm-hmm. And my mother said this.
Did you get married?
As if you're married to your mother. Yes? Yes. Yes. So, men, when you get married, you leave your mother, yes? And you go and you cleave to your wife, or vice versa. You understand? Yes, men. I'm talking to men. Why am I looking at the girls?
They're around. Yes. We are the men.
Yes. And then also another thing about sexual satisfaction. Let me tell you. Many times, as we the men are the ones who have a problem with sexual satisfaction. Normally. So what happens is that we watch a lot of porn before we get married, and then we expect our wives to behave like porn stars. You have to remember that porn is something acted. You know. They are all actors. It's not real. Even romantic movies, you expect everything to be a certain way. Yeah? Why aren't you behaving like this? Yeah? Yeah? You should do this. Yeah? Why can't... you're not flexible enough, like, you know? All those funny things. Don't go into a marriage thinking that it's going to be a porn movie. That whatever you suggest your wife, she will do.
Oh, whatever
no.
you suggest your husband,
called acrobatics.
Yeah, or your husband. Yeah, don't. Please. You need to go in there and discover what makes the two of you enjoy sex. You know, you even come up with your own techniques.
We mentioned
the two
that
of you,
in the myths and realities.
Yes, yeah. So please, don't go in there thinking it's going to be a porn movie. It is not.
Thank you, Kenny. One of the other questions is, or comments is, assuming you laid down your principles to him, that every weekend you want to go out to the beach, enjoy beach ball, eat ice cream, chocolate, sweets, chicken, chips, but unfortunately, his financial situation has failed and he does not do it as he used to at one time. But he still looks like he's a man of swag. How can you resolve that? You see, those are some of the... And also stereotypes and unrealistic expectations that we should maturely not have when we are looking for marriage. You're not marrying ice cream, chocolate, chicken, chips, and all those other things and fun. No, life is not fun.
All the time. It's fun sometimes.
Many times.
It's fun God's way.
Yeah.
You know, I've been blessed so much that me and my wife, ever since we got married, we've always like been together most of the time. Like at first when we were not employed, we would be in ministry together. I'll be home doing the chores and we'll go out, look for finances. Then when we got a business, we would work at it together. We are in ministry together. We are both in choir or we are both in church together. Both of us were deacons. And we keep together like 24 hours. Now that a few years ago I'm into full-time ministry and she has to keep at the job, I kind of feel I miss her, but it's so strange that we still keep together most of the time. But if all I wanted was, or what she wanted was something other than that mystery that they call companionship, I tell you, you get so bored of someone because these things actually, there is no satisfaction in them at all. Not so? Yeah. If they
money
don't,
comes
if
and
they
goes.
Don't get you sick, they will kill you even.
Money comes and goes. You might work together and get a house and lose it maybe in a deal or something. Then what happens? But when you still have each other and your relationship was just to be together, whatever happens, you won't get worked up. Actually, you walk through it together. And at the end of it all, you feel more excited. You're like, yeah, man, we went through that. We didn't know we would get over it. You see, eh? And, you know, sometimes when there's a problem, the man goes through it alone. The woman is like, and they blame it on the guy. The poor man walks through the thing alone. So at the end of it, he feels like, this woman is useless. So if they are not Christian, they should look for someone else. You see?
All right.
Yeah, we should always be together.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to now cut down in the way we're answering because we're running out of time. I just have two. One says that about the disagreement issues with conflict resolution, on settling a conflict-free marriage, you may have put down your principles to her that you don't need her to put on a trouser going out in market or church, and she accepted. Then after some years in marriage, she began doing that nonsense, putting on trousers or short skirts. How do you handle such an issue?
Oh my God.
Many people, when you don't have the right counseling, think that you are going to get into marriage and change someone. That's something you should not have as a reality in your lives. Only God can change people. You cannot change someone. If you find them putting on trousers, if you find them behaving in a certain way, don't think that it is going to be you to work on them. You get it? So you either come to terms with her trousers and probably buy her the style of trousers you want, but know that for her she's a trouser person. Yeah, because you found her putting on trousers, you know, appreciated her putting on trousers, and now you want her not to put on the trousers. I think it's not going to be you loving the person the way they are, so it's not going to be so realistic. Then lastly, my way, is Brother Paul, your expectations were for children, and it may not have been the case for your wife. So how can you agree on the number of children in the family? One may want 5 and the other one wants 2. So that's one of the things when when you are getting married, that's one of the issues you discuss. Children. How many children should we have? Then when you come to terms with that, you have to realize how feasible is it going to be for us to have X number of children. Yeah? Don't just want a football team that you do not have the coaster to drive them around by or in. You get it?
Coaster.
Be realistic about that also when you're expecting children or not expecting children. I'm out. So
I have one. Is it that your wife has to be the most beautiful woman you've ever met? Or because honestly she is not the most beautiful physically girl I have ever seen. Though she has the most beautiful heart. Someone asked a question.
Yeah. This you're asking. Are you answering that question?
Well, I think if she has what it takes, beauty comes, by the way, the Bible says beauty goes away after some time, it fades away. But a woman who loves God, the Bible says, will always be looking beautiful. So beauty should be, I think, skin deep. So what you appreciate in her is what is beautiful to you. She may not look beautiful to everyone. You may take them home. If you're a guy and you take a lady home and they're like, onogo alavye yo. But because you love her, you stand your ground and marry. Don't marry for public opinion. If I was going to marry for public opinion, I wouldn't be married to this gentleman here. Because, I was in another world. Hugo Boss, Simanyani, those designer things. So I was very unrealistic. So if it was about public opinion, I wouldn't have married. So, stick to what you feel is you're comfortable with. Because at the end of the day, we are going to escort you after the kwanjua, the wedding, the bells have rung, everybody has sung, everything is done and said, and you end up the two of you in the house. Are you going to be comfortable with this person? The whole world may be saying, yeah, she has a hunk. But are you comfortable with that hunk behind closed doors? Or are you seeing a monster? Okay? So if you're comfortable with him and he's your friend, you're comfortable with her, she's your friend, I think go for it. Get married.
Thank you. So we'll have
next question.
Other brethren share with us the question answers they have.
I'm called Evelyn. And the question goes, I want to get married, but I don't know how to approach my parents about it, especially my mother, because she still sees me as a young girl. And then I am 24 years old. Yeah, so bottom line is, as a parent, I'm a mom, not yet with a 24-year-old. My daughter is way younger than that. But see, our parents always look at us as young. We are always young in their eyes. And especially for girls, we never get to grow up to look old to them. However much you, even if you made like 40 or whatever, when you go home, you're still a child. Now, you feel like you really need to bring up this subject to them, to inform them that you really are ready to get married. I think you should consider a couple of things before you approach them. You should, first of all, consider the person you're trying to introduce into your family. The gentleman who wants to marry you, how serious is he about you? Are you taking there somebody who's serious, or somebody who just wants to, you know, flaunt himself around and then the next minute he's going to ditch you and then you'll be embarrassed? And then it will become into something that you don't even want to ever, you know, talk imagine, about yeah. ever. Mm. You should consider such things. And then another thing, how ready are you to get married? You know, I mean, you could be 24 years old. In African culture, when a girl is 24, most mothers or parents are beginning to ask themselves, "Bananga agenda di?" Yeah. They want you to, okay, they are getting worried because you're about to knock into your 30s and then they'll start thinking, okay, is she going to get married? Is she going to stay here on, you know, in our house forever? Or, you know, such things. But bottom line is that you should think about your education first. Have you finished with your books? Are you educated to a level where you want to be? Because when you get married, it can actually turn into a very big challenge if you have other goals in life that you want to achieve, and now you're married, and then you go and get kids, and then they hinder you from getting your goals, and then now you turn into this bitter somebody. You start thinking, oh, had I not met this man, maybe had I not gotten married at this age, I would have become this and that and that. Yeah? So you have to look at yourself deeply and say, am I ready for this? Have I gotten what I want in life? Am I ready to enter into marriage and settle? And then another thing that you should think about is the financial stability of the person who's going to marry you. I'm sure most people, okay, on a Christian basis, people don't really take it that seriously, probably, because they think, I love him, he loves me, and you know, that's the bottom line. But you should think about how he's going to provide for you, because if you're bringing up this subject to your parents, they're definitely going to ask you, what does this man do for a living? I mean, what's his profession? Is he able to take care of you if you don't have, if you're not financially stable yourself? But even if you are financially stable, they would still ask you, what does he do? Because he needs to be a man who's able to provide for his family. So briefly to answer that, I think before a girl broaches that subject to the parents, she should look into all those aspects and have them all covered.
That's so comprehensive an answer. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Evelyn.
That's my beautiful wife.
Yeah, wow.
I'm Solomon. I'd maybe to add on to that, in summary, 24 years, and you have someone who's courting you and he's serious, I think it's the right time. You're just scared. Trust me. If you approached your parents and said, I have this guy, and of course you know what they're going to ask, but you seem to be having all these answers there. I'm telling you, you'll be surprised even before you finish. Because 24, you're ready. 24, you're ready. If you're quoting, and definitely, you see, I always tell people that when a lady says, I've seen someone, she is concrete sure. Ladies assimilate. They work in psychology, they say they work in the super ego. They deal, they think over things.
Listen.
They process better. Men first error to assimilate. It's because they work so much in the ego. In the ego, the ED, they do the animal thing. They do something, then, you know, they get hurt, and that's when they realize it's bad. But a lady can think it through, even before it happens. Yes. Yes. So maybe to just summarize, just to give a closer appeal on that.
Thank you.
Maybe my what I'm supposed to answer, the question is, this person is quoting and is saying, is it okay to date a non-Christian who is willing to change to Christianity? If it's a lady, I'll say lady, and if it's a gentleman, it's a gentleman. Please, there are things in marriage, in counseling, I'm very sure my brother Paul will totally agree, and my pastor said that in marriage, when you're making that decision, faith issues are very, very critical issues. Faith issues are critical. And if it's a lady, be careful. So many, many girls have been duped. This guy tells you he loves you so much that he's so much willing to change. Okay? So he has gotten you in a corner, and you're between a hard place and a rock, and you can't turn around. Or probably he goes all the way to play your game, and he pretends he's a Christian, and thereafter, eventually he changes, and you are in trouble.
Shock, yeah.
You're in shock. So you will have to now decide, because you already made a vow in church and you can't go back. Everyone will wonder what is happening. Your pastor will be like, didn't you see this coming? I mean, it wouldn't be your fault, but I want you to know this day that if there is anything regarding to faith, someone is planning to change. No. It's a big no, I repeat.
And you can quickly identify many relationships these days of guys coming in the church to get sisters because they know the born again girls are the pure girls, or they're the godly girls, or the let alone the Islamization of Africa project that is getting women out of the church, as many as possible. They would even come to church with you because they are saying, I'll try to change, you see. So, because they are fleecing you, you get duped. But the truth is, we are telling you now, and it's on record, by the way, that you can clearly know that someone is born again, not changed again, born again by the Spirit of God. Not because they carry a Bible or they say, praise God. Not so? You can. And that's, in fact, where accountability helps a lot. Stella.
Hello, I'm Stella. This is my husband, Norman. We've been married for 12 years.
Wow.
Good to see you.
Thank you. The question here is, I'm in a long-distance relationship. How best should we relate? Long-distance relationships, as any of us who's gone through that know, is very, very difficult.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure whether this is a girlfriend-boyfriend type of long-distance relationship.
Or it's a marriage relationship.
Is it a marriage relationship? Is it a courting relationship? Are they engaged?
Mm-hmm.
boyfriend, girlfriend that can go on and on. There's no commitment. I think we even said that earlier. Yeah. Mm. It can go on and on and on. You're in this country, he's in the other country, without any clear definition, can go on and on and on. If it's a courting relationship, I assume this person has asked to marry you, and you're probably preparing to get married. And I think it was also mentioned earlier that you need a defined period within which you're planning to get married. You cannot say, I'm engaged to this person, I've asked them to marry me, and I'm really not sure. We've been engaged for 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, no wedding coming. If it's a marriage or wedding that one is planning for, it needs a defined period. Otherwise, things can go wrong. Yeah. Or
commitment requires definiteness. If you have to be committed about something, you have to be definite about it for it to be a commitment.
Yes, if it's a marriage relationship, then now we can. It's in a different realm. Yeah. Also, timelines. Is the person away for studies? Are you living in different countries? Because I found a job in South Africa and it's a 10-year contract. I can't move with you. I still hope to keep this marriage going. It's a different discussion in that setup. So I think the what should come out here is timelines, something definite.
Yeah.
Timelines. Yeah. And what sort of a relationship it is. Is it girlfriend, boyfriend? Are we courting? Are we married? And timelines. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Stella.
I think for marriage, like we had a session earlier on with Bonnie and Jeff, they said God said that what he has joined together, not yourselves, the marriage partners are not allowed to put it asunder, job, whoever, whatever. But if you agree, like she said, timelines, if you see the timeline will not affect you, then you can. But if you have gotten a job in South Africa, you should consider that job, your wife is part of it, yeah, before you even go. Because people get into trouble letting their wives stay here, then they're there, then somehow it gets complicated, they're in the States 9 years. What is that? That's madness. Yeah?
No man has
I think
Yes, no man.
I think to add on that, on the long distance marriage, relationships, I think it's something that's becoming very common nowadays.
Yes.
People dating, this long distance, and I think it's good for, like my wife has said, it's good for there to be timelines, one. Two, it's good not to create it into a habit and move into a long distance marriage. Because we even have couple friends who have ended up being long distance marriages. You know, one is in one country, the other one's in the other country.
And they can't get the
they don't have a
join,
definite
yeah.
time when they are going to come and live together. They just got married and then left. Again, one lives in one country, the other. So I think marriage and relationships, there has to be a time when you live together. There's nothing like long-distance marriages. Just the same way you cannot encourage long-distance relationships that have no time limit. So I think it's something that in our current generation, people have to really work on and have timelines come together and make sure you don't end up also with a long-distance marriage. The question I have here is, someone is asking, I have a girlfriend who I love deeply and she loves me too, but I have a challenge. I keep comparing her with other girls, which I feel is bad, but I'm struggling not to. Help, please, because every time I compare her with others, she sometimes falls short. And I get doubts if I made the right choice, yet God has been confirming some things. I love her very much, but this habit is worrying me. I think something like that. So this person they love each other. So the only challenge is that he's comparing her with other people. I think what I would say to this is that I don't know what this obviously should be a young man.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's comparing, whether it's physical appearance of the lady,
facial,
or it's the character. I think if it's physical appearance, then just know that there'll always be more beautiful people than your spouse or your wife. So you cannot use that as a reason to doubt whether you made the right choice. Even if you married Miss Uganda today, she'll still grow old, isn't it? And yeah, she'll get babies, she'll get bigger, she'll change. Yeah. So you can never have the most beautiful woman all the time. So you need to accept, be committed to the person that you love. And I like a lot of counselors of marriage say that, you know, marriage is a commitment. You know, the feeling of love can come and go, but the commitment to somebody is what keeps marriages, what keeps relationships.
Right.
So if you're committed to her, I think you should always expect that there'll be more beautiful people. If you're comparing her in terms of character, then you need to also ask yourself what we were talking about earlier, the list of characters or characteristics that you're looking for. If you're able to tick most of the boxes or at least enough boxes about her character, then you also may need to compromise on some things.
Mm.
Because nobody's perfect. You'll never get somebody who is 100%, everything.
Yeah.
He's 100%, has all the characters, has all the looks, has all the intelligence, has all the... I mean, there's no such a human being. You know, nobody's perfect. And as somebody said, you knew somebody was perfect. The fact that you meet them, they stop being perfect. You know? So, because we are all imperfect. So I think that if it's a character issue, then you need to just analyze and see, is it what you can live with? And if you say you love her and she loves you so much and both of you are committed, then you need to either analyze what we are calling love here. What are you talking about? If it's just the attraction and the feeling of love, then maybe you need to also mature in your love. I would call it that way. Mature that love to move beyond just looking at her, getting attracted to a committed love, a love that's committed to this person. So I think that's what I would say in short. But wish you all the best as you continue dating this lady.
Thank you, Norman. Thank you so much. Praise God. Yeah, we are finishing up with the last two. One I have and Kenny has. Yeah.
Kenny.
You.
How do you know you're dating the right person? My God.
The way you know you're dating the right person is when they are the right person.
When they are the right person.
The right person.
The right person for you will not be the right person for your neighbor or the other neighbor or the other neighbor.
Can I respond?
Yeah, you can respond.
All right. I'll just use my example. Before I started courting Monica.
After dating for some time?
Well, even before we started dating officially, I hung out with her most of the time in school. We sat next to each other in class. We talked a lot about our years in the 80s, TV shows. We talked about lots of things because we had so much in common. Right?
You're right.
The life she had are the same I had.
Mm.
So, inadvertently, she became my best friend.
Mm.
I hung out with her. Sometimes when I was broke, she'd buy me a break. At times when I was very broke and I was embarrassed, I'd hide from her. But she'd keep the break for me. Can you imagine such a woman?
Wow.
You know? And so when before we said dating or courting, I just knew that it had to be her, because I knew a lot about her. Yes, I knew that I knew her likes and dislikes, and she knew the same about me. And we, in that period, built a lot of history together. When I was alone in my bed daydreaming, I would think about what we talked about. Yes, I would think about her. So how can she not be the right person?
Okay.
She was saved. Before I got saved, she's the one who led me in a prayer to recommit my life to Christ. How could she have not been the right person? Okay. Date your best friend.
Mm.
Court your best friend.
Mm.
Yes? If you argue or fight, you will most probably mend that argument quickly. Because your best friend has a lot of history with you, that when you go into the hard times, you can go back to that history and say, you know what, I dig this chick. Why am I being so difficult? Right? I love her so much. Even if she's wrong or vice versa, I don't care. I really, really dig this girl. Simply because you have built a relationship as best friends. Then with time, you get married. For me, I believe that's how you can. It's easier.
No.
There's no guarantee.
Mm.
But all I'm saying is that is a better way to approach it. And you most likely will be successful.
Yeah, as you take it to him. I think the first thing is to notice that the reason why you're dating that person is to find out whether they're actually the right person. Because in a dating season that you are, you want to see whether the both of you are compatible, whether they're actually going to appreciate your likes or you are going to appreciate their likes, because you are preparing then for a lifelong relationship. You get it? So when you're dating, you are finding out whether they are the right person or whether they are not the right person. I would imagine so, or I would say so.
Thank you very much. I want to incorporate what my brother said, Kenny, and also Paul. But I also have very, very something that you guys at least should know. And it's a bit general, but you can do it. You can customize it, individualize it, make it your own kind. When I talked about knowing who you are and what you want, that is a standard by itself. Kenny talked about, he gave you an example, but what he was trying to tell you is that there was so much that he thought was connecting them both. They had similar interests. So you have to have interests. There are things you should know you want. There are things that you know are your desires. And apparently, if you meet this person and is the right person, I'm telling you, you're just like, let's say, a puzzle board that has been disorganized, and you're trying to put pieces all together. Okay? So when this guy comes to you and you put puzzles and you don't seem to see them match on your board, then of course there are questions you need to raise. So you need to know. Okay? You need to know. That is for the basis of general. Now, friendship, there are people that are meeting people for the first time. I think that would work for you. Know who you are. Know what you want. What have you told God about? What have you asked God about? Because just like I said before, the illustration of a lady who was on her knees praying. I mean, a guy who was on his knees praying. And then God provides a lady. And she kept on circling this guy, going round. And because the guy didn't know exactly, his prayers were just general. Jagalam chala, jagalam chala. But I mean, what kind? You mention things by your standard. Say, I want a God-fearing lady. I want a lady who loves me. That's your standard. Who doesn't want that? In the will of God, there was a prayer man, a prayer group, that this guy always says why God doesn't answer prayers, and it's scripture that we are not specific and we don't pray in the will of God. Let your litmus paper or your standard gauge be the standard that God wills you to have. If it's a God-fearing woman, if it's a faithful guy, state it.
if you see something weird with this guy, man, that, he doesn't tick, doesn't click, disappear.
Thank you so much, Dr. Solomon. Yeah, finally, Kenny. Yeah, all right. Please.
Mm. Okay, praise God.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being patient. I know some of you were even dozing.
Yeah.
I know some of you had a lot of rice. That way, that's why you're dozing. I hope we're not too boring. But thank you for bearing with us.
Yeah.
Like I said, we're not experts. But we all rely on God to teach us. We also learned. I learned so much today about marriage. My goodness. Mm. Thank you so much. Yeah. That's very enlightening.
Glory be to God.
Thank you so much for being here with the young people, spending all this time participating. We really appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Someone asked and said, someone suggested that the youth who are not married get more attention. Yeah, and it's true, there's been little attention for youth, but that doesn't mean that we have not been thinking about it. It's so funny that you made this suggestion about a youth fellowship for singles. It's so interesting because God has placed it on my heart to under the youth ministry to start a ministry called the Youth Lounge. It will be every Saturday at 4 o'clock.
Yes.
At 4 o'clock, four when there is no mega mix. Mm. So what we'll do, we'll come here and just spend time together and talk. We're going to bring board games.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about fashion. We're going to talk about
style. All those things.
We're going to talk about movies, trends. Yeah. We're going to talk about the Bible. We're going to play board games, Scrabble, all these things. Yes? We're going to take tea together. We're praying for a table tennis table. Yeah, set. So that this will be a nice hangout place for you. Yeah, we'll have music. We'll have we'll bring in choreographers to teach us a few dance moves for us. Some of us who don't know how to dance.
Wow.
You know? Like me. Sister. Come out. So, but if you don't attend, it will die. Right? So you must come so that it survives. So that we make this place a very hip and happening place.
For the youth.
Yeah, for the youth.
Yeah.
Youth. Whoever, if you feel you are youth, yeah?
Yeah.
So please. I think next week we're not having Megamix because we have the jazz night.
Yeah.
It will be very strenuous on the instrumentalists and all that. They'll need to rest. So hopefully we'll start next week. I think we'll start next week. Ours is just easy. Talk about the Bible for about 10 minutes. Then talk about something that is related to what we read. And just hang out and have a good time. We'll have tea. We'll get to know each other. I think it'll be a good forum for us to come here, socialize, interact, and also meet other people. Right? We're hoping that a lot of people will get married from the Youth Lounge. Amen?
Amen.
So please pray about it.
They'll find the right people.
Pray about it. Send me ideas. Please give me ideas, things, fun things that we can do during that time. Yes? Amen?
Amen.
We don't want you to say, the youth are not being taken care of. You also take responsibility to come and be a part of this thing.
You're right.
When we start this thing, it's not my thing. It's your thing. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
God bless
Thank you.
You
so much.
Finally, my brothers and sisters, I just encourage you to love each other. Sisters, love these brothers. Take care of them like they are your own brothers. Brothers, watch out on the sisters. Yeah? You're first a brother and a sister before you become a girlfriend and a boyfriend, then become maybe a husband or a wife. In the eyes of God. Okay? So treat each other right. Talk to each other respectfully. Because if you destroy, you know, if you have anger or bitterness or destroy your brother or your sister, the Bible says you're like a murderer. That's what Jesus says. Those are not my words. So treat each other respectfully. Bless each other. Pray for each other. If you see a sister is dressing in a weird way, brother, don't be there going behind their backs. Manange, sister, yo, bichi. Before you approach her, maybe pray for her. Yeah? Or if you've talked to her and she doesn't understand, pray for her. Even you sisters, if the brother is not tasenya, tayambara bunji, tasani yaviri, pray for him. Or maybe look for someone who can understand him and talk to him nicely, okay? But edify each other, treat each other nicely, and talk about each other nicely. When you go out there, sister Z, tomka ba brother Calvary banange. Hey, neta. Kama bane tuna ba brother bali super, bali tick. Okay? That's all I wanted to leave with you. Love each other, bless each other, and God will bless the youth of this church because you are the future of this church. God bless you so much.
All right. Oh, she's playing something, a clip. All right.
Single young lady, some guy wants to take you out. He says, can I take you out? You have to ask yourself, what's your motive? These days when people come to you and say, hey, how you doing? Are you all right? You're like trying to, what's the motive? Why are you talking to me? Because, you know, church folks, can hide behind the church and not let you know what the real deal is. And that's why I say, single people, if you dating somebody, you need to ask 1,000 questions during the dating process. You don't need to be sitting up there talking about, well, I go to church and I talk in tongues, and a big plus is I'm a member of World Change. Oh, praise the Lord, I done found my husband. You might have found the devil. Now hold up a minute, girl. You need to ask some questions. Y'all need to sit down and go on a whole lot of dates. What's your name? Is that your real name? Do you have your daddy's name? When can I meet your daddy? Is your dad and mama together? How do you act when you get mad? Do you throw things? Do you cuss around? Do you beat up on people? I need to know, do you have a job? Where do you work at? How much money do you make? How long you been working there? Do you have a bank account? How is your credit? Can I see your credit score? Do you have a house? Are you living in an apartment? Do you pay for your gas in your car? Do you live with your mama and them? I need to understand what you're doing. What you like to eat? Do you plan on being fine like that all your life? Or you plan on getting big? How many children do you want to have? Will you get upset if we don't have no kids? You plan on having an inheritance? Do you have insurance? Can you pay for your funeral if you were to die today? You need to know who you marry. And don't you dare get married to somebody talking about, I've never seen him angry since I met him. It is not time to marry that person. You need to see how he looks. And you need to ask that woman, how you look without your makeup? Don't put none on tomorrow. I need to see. The hat you got on your head, is that yours or did you purchase it? And if you purchase it, is it paid for or are you in debt? I need to know. When you blink your eyes, are those your eyelashes or did you buy those from somewhere? I need to know. You smell good today, but what about tomorrow morning? I need to know. Do you believe in taking showers at night or in the morning? Do you believe in taking 3 days off and then take shower? How is your relationship with soap and water? I need to know. What's your motive? All that time I love him and I'm ready to get married to him. You don't even know him.
Let's humble ourselves in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the wisdom we've attained in this place. We thank you for the marriage that you brought up in this place to deliver us that bit wisdom on your behalf. Father, plant it upon our hearts to be able to execute and be practical about this wisdom. God, we ask you for the guidance, and we all know that you are for us and you can't be against us. Father, give us the necessary signs to show that we have reached the right partners in this life and this lifetime to maturity. God, we know that you are for us in security for this lifetime. Help us fight and fight a war of faith and spirit to be able to stand according to your will and supply your need and be able to serve and protect those around us. We ask this through Jesus Christ, Son. Amen.